This is Sean with Voices of Saint Joan of Arc, and I'm speaking with Bobby Easley. Bobby, how you doing?
Not too bad today.
Are you staying out of the cold?
No, I went out this morning to I usher my daughter to work downtown at IUPUI, and I'll be leaving out again at 2 o'clock to pick her up and bring her home. She was born premature, and she has some challenges, and she kind of fears riding the bus by herself. So,
well, that's a good father to be there for. So, speaking of fathers, have you been able to talk to Father Guy Roberts any time recently?
No, I haven't. My wife passed away in October, and we had the funeral services and everything. But with all the coronaviruses and everything going on, I haven't had anything to really talk to Father about, because I know he's very busy.
All right. So where, what year were you born, and in what city, and what was your path to St. Joan of Arc?
Well, I was born in Union City, Tennessee, in 1953. I grew up here in Indianapolis, and as a child, I attended Sunday school at Christ Temple Apostolic, which is there at MLK, and the cross section is Fall Creek Parkway. For me, that was a rather traumatic experience, because the way they did their worship in those days, I haven't been back since I was probably 12 years old, but the way they did their worship in those days, I guess they used the word sanctified, but women, the elderly ladies would jump up and down. They usually sat in the balcony, and they'd scream a lot, and there would be women in nurses' uniforms who would make sure that they could get them calmed down. And for me, that was frightening.
I could see that.
It really was. Then, I guess my path to the Catholic Church started with the death of Pope John, I think it was the 23rd, in the 60s. I watched that funeral on our black and white TV, and I was amazed at the peace that existed everywhere for this one person. And while I was a kid, I didn't have a choice as to where I could go to church. But when I got older, and after I'd met my wife, who was already taking classes to convert, because she grew up in the Baptist church, and she was going to convert to Catholicism over at Holy Angels, which was overseen by Father Walden at the time. I started attending classes with her, and, you know, the one person in my family who gave me support for my decision to change my religion was my grandmother. And for years, she had worked at the old St. Vincent's Hospital there at Capitol in Fall Creek in the laundry. She was a seamstress, and they mended the linen and everything. But she had so much respect for the nuns that oversaw the hospital. When I told her that I was going to change my religion, my grandmother was the only one who spoke up for me in my entire family. We had a lot of people in my family who were historically anti-Catholic. They came from down south, and I guess there's a mindset that went with that. But my grandmother supported me, and she was happy for me. And my wife and I were baptized into the Catholic Church on the same day. And we had gotten married a year before while I was in the Army. And Father Walden says, you know, you two are living in sin, so you better fix this. So we fixed it. And that was Well, we met in 1969, and although we missed our 50th wedding anniversary, which would have been this summer, we had 51 years together.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And so how would you, more specifically, different types of organizations or groups, committees, involvement that have you and your wife for St. Joan of Arc?
I tried a couple of times to get involved with the parish council, but my wife's health continued deteriorating, and I wasn't able to participate. I was an extraordinary minister for the Eucharist, and visited a nursing home, which is south of 38th Street there on Central, and I did that for a while. But then again, my wife's health became an issue. But the one thing that I have done, well, let me back up just a little bit. We moved into this area from the far west side in 1997. And I've been living in the same house since then. And probably about 2000, no, I think back in 1995, I started doing the Santa Claus thing. I was a Freemason at the time, and I would do Santa Claus at our lodge for Christmas. And just about the time Father Pat was getting ready to leave St. Joan of Arc, I started doing Santa Claus there at St. Joan of Arc and at a daycare center way up on 96th and Michigan Road, which my granddaughter was in attendance there, and I just volunteered to do the Santa because they didn't have anybody. My wife would make my costumes for me. We had an old world English style Santa with a staff and a whatnot, and a traditional American dress Santa. But I did that was probably the biggest thing that I've done at St. Joan of Arc. Father Guy told me, he says, you know, in a way, that's kind of a ministry all by itself. And I gave that up a few years ago. And he's Molly Seidel's brother. And although he's considerably shorter than I am, he does an excellent Santa Claus, and I'm happy for him, and I hope he's really enjoying it as much as I did.
That's great.
And but otherwise, I have, on occasion, acted as master of ceremonies for Father Guy, especially when he first came to the parish. There's usually an upheaval of sorts when your parish changes priests. Attendance tends to fall off. The servers don't show up. So for about a year and a half, I was his server. There I am, 6 foot, 300 pounds, biggest guy in the church almost, except for Doug Hunter, who is now Father Doug. Between the two of us, we pretty much got things covered for Father Guy. And finally, things got back into the groove. Attendance picked up, and the kids started coming back and participating regularly. So I just kind of stepped out of the way and, you know, let them go back to doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Sure.
But I enjoyed doing that. I helped with three, maybe four weddings with Father Guy as a server and master of ceremonies. And that was nice. And I think I assisted him with one or two funerals, which was good.
That's great.
It was a good experience for me. I learned a bit more about the liturgy than I already knew, and cleared up a number of things that I had misconceptions about. And Father Guy is a wonderful person. You asked about who is the influence on me at the church. It is Father Guy. He was the only Catholic priest I've ever been around who took the time, even if it meant explaining the Latin language, to totally explain his homilies and the different aspects of them and where different traditions came from. And that helps a lot. It has helped me.
That's
a lot.
great. That's great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before I close it out? I think you've covered a lot of really good stuff.
No, I'm looking forward to hopefully this spring we'll be back to normal mass schedules. I don't drive. Part of my health problems, they took away my driver's license after a big wreck I had back in 1990, so I haven't driven a car since then. So when the weather clears up and things get back to where they're hopefully is some semblance of normal, my daughter and I will be coming back to our normal Saturday evening mass and get to see everyone. And I miss everybody.
Well, Bobby, I really.
From the mass, from mass to French Market, we are a very large family here at St. John's.
Right. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Bobby. I know the rest of the parish will really appreciate it. If you could just stay on the line, I'm going to close this one out.
Okay.